Has your son, who has a very good name, Josh, signed the petition?
Not as yet. I'll teach him how to use the computer, but he will. And, you know, I actually named him after you two guys just to get on the show.
One name would. One name won.
Blitz is on. Rodgers winds up rainbow. He's got time to the 10 to the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown.
Two friends. Too much sport.
Throwing, and it is a fingertip.
Put your hands together for Woo and Wild.
Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the Woot and Why Show. I'm Josh Why.
With Josh Woot.
And happy Josh Gordon Reinstatement Day. He's back.
Oh God.
He is back. Welcome back to the facility today. He is an official member of the Cleveland Browns roster.
Cleveland Browns.
Browns.
Yeah, no.
Tongue-tied. 20 seconds in.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, they need him now.
Absolutely, they do. Brian Hoyer threw the ball 50 times on Sunday.
20 completions?
Yeah, Josh Gordon will certainly help that. If Brian Hoyer has thrown the ball 50 times, I am definitely starting Josh Gordon in fantasy this week. Yep, and also before we get into NFL news, did we witness the worst fan in the NFL in week 11?
Yeah.
Old mate down at Superdome?
Yep.
Yep, so if you haven't heard, Jermaine Gresham scored a touchdown, proceeded to hand a ball to a young Bengals fan in the stands, and he grabbed the ball off her and refused to give it back. What a nasty, nasty old man.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yep.
Bitter old man. Don't expect that from Saints fans. Some other fans up north I expect that from.
I expect nothing less.
Nothing less. All right, now let's get to some NFL news. Fresh off week 11, let's recap the games. Fresh in our minds now, and people aren't sick of hearing about it. Let's start with the Thursday night football game.
Stop. What? It's a Tuesday. This is a Tuesday, finally.
Finally, yes.
Finally.
Tuesday podcast. We're here together.
Tuesday podcast.
It's destiny.
It is.
And we have a special guest on later as well. So.
Or do we? Yeah, we do.
Yeah, everything's coming up Milhouse, second week in a row.
Woo!
Woo! Thursday night football, Miami 22, Buffalo 9. What did you think of that game?
Should never have doubted them.
We should never.
Should never have doubted the Finns.
But my record continues of incorrectly picking Miami games wrong, and that's what I wanted to achieve in picking Buffalo. And the team of the podcast marches on.
Continues.
Yeah, well, not really much to take away from it, really. We know both teams have great defensive lines, and ultimately Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback than Kyle Orton, especially at home.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Let's roll.
Tannehill looks good.
Does he?
Tannehill looks good.
He does.
In every way.
We'll get to reasons why people pick fans later on, but there's a story about Ryan Tannehill that we could probably explore. The Rams 22 upset over the Broncos, 7 points. That's the lowest points scored by a Peyton Manning offense since 2003, I think it is.
You know, I'm actually, like, I came here prepared to just tear up Manning, but I'm, like, so tired of doing it already that I'm just going to hold back.
He threw some hospital passes.
He put his wide receivers in trouble. I mean, the hit on Emmanuel Sanders, not his fault. I'm not blaming that on him. But when there's so much pressure in your face,
after Julius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders went down, the Rams were blitzing like there was no tomorrow. He was just trying to get the ball out of there, trying to at least get something. But that's a formula now to beat the Broncos. Their O-line looks shocking.
They look shocking. Manning can't, you know, evade the pocket. Like,
no,
he can't run out.
Not so Robert Griffin III.
He's stuck there.
Yeah.
And compared to the teams that they're coming up against, Rams are small fry. They're coming up against...
I don't know. Rams the last 18 sacks in 5 games.
Oh, no. I'm not saying... No, but their front seven is...
They've got to play the Chiefs in Miami.
Yep.
They're in a bit of trouble. No wonder they're looking at Richie Incognito. Maybe as bad as he is off the field, maybe they need him.
Yep.
Not a bad guard. Trey Mason finally, I think, put a dagger in that running back by committee there. I think he is the guy.
He looks good now.
Are you surprised that he's the guy?
If you would have asked me at the end of last year, will Trey Mason be the guy next year? I would have said no, because I thought Zach Stacy was great, but not anymore. Yep. I'm not surprised.
As I mentioned before, a few injuries. Julius Thomas calls what he says day-to-day ankle injury.
Apparently, it's not as bad as first.
When I had written notes down for this, originally it was significant, and then it changed to day-to-day today. So
Day-to-day today.
And Monte Ball re-injured his groin, and Hillman's rumours have now been out for what looks to be a month. Do you think Denver need to dip into the running back free agency pool?
No. Who's their backup?
Juwan Thompson and C.J. Anderson. Yeah.
I mean, free agency pool, I doubt, has that much better talent.
I look at a guy like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He's not flashy, but he does everything right. He pass protects and he doesn't fumble the football. He's as safe as you can get as a running back.
I think if this happened in week 6 or 7, maybe, but it's getting late on now.
It is getting late on, but who knows? If you're desperate, there's at least quality out there.
Yep.
Well, not quality, but...
However, like we just mentioned, now that the CJ Anderson is definitely the starter there, and the front sevens that they're coming up against, good luck trying to block it.
Exactly. He's not a very good pass blocker either. So we'll wait and see how that pans out. But without a run game and an offensive line, Manning's got no hope.
Nope.
The Patriots. Man, oh man, oh man. They rolled my beloved Colts 42-20. And after the first drive, I tweeted, "We are done." People were saying it's not over yet. And I said, "Listen, it's done." I sensed a LeGarrette Blount 2013-14 playoff game, and that's exactly what happened. Jonas Gray, 199 yards and 4 touchdowns. Oh, man.
To be honest, this is they should have won.
I'm going to have a rant right now about the Colts. Peyton Manning, for 15 seasons in Indianapolis, had to deal with a terrible defense and a terrible offensive line his whole career. They built nothing around him. Yes, they had Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis, but defensive ends like that only work when you have a lead and the quarterback's got to hang on to the ball a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think their offensive line was that bad.
The Colts? Yeah. It's pretty bad. It's been pretty bad.
When Manning was...
We can't run block at all. Trent Richardson is the slowest running back I've ever seen.
Now, I understand that it's poor now, but when Manning was quarterback...
There was years where... There was a few seasons where they were good, but there was some really shocking O-line. That's why he has a quick release, because he had to.
Mm-hmm.
But you think they would learn and build something. I know they went out into free agency, but they just did not sign quality players. Carlos Dansby was on the market. They signed Tekel Jackson, who's been awful.
Yep.
Awful. As bad as my pronunciation of his name. To how bad he has been. Leron Landry has been awful. I'm sick and tired of a quarterback carrying this team. Like, they can only do so much, and it's frustrating, and I can see the frustration on Andrew Luck's face, but he's an ultimate professional like Manning, and he'll put it on his own shoulders. It's just annoying. And the lack of run and run defense, an interesting stat tweeted by Scott Kazmar today from Football Outsiders. He said since 1970, teams allowing 34 points and rushing under 50 yards have 4 wins and 389 losses.
Ouch.
So if you cannot run the ball and you're letting points sink in, you've got no chance.
Back to the whole... You would have thought they would have learned from the whole LeGarrette Blount situation last year in the playoffs. Even if the player quality is not there, right? You can still stack that box.
You still can, but then that's the power of Gronk.
Oh yeah, no, I understand that, but if that keeps happening, You need to change your game plan throughout the game. Nothing was changed at all. It just kept happening.
A lot of people are talking about that Rob Gronkowski, Sergio Brown incident. A lot of people slagging Sergio Brown because he talked a little bit of smack on Twitter today and then deleted it.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that play, Sergio Brown actually, when he was marking Rob Gronkowski, did a pretty good job.
As good as you could.
For a backup safety.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too bad at all. The Colts, look, Andrew Luck, as I said, he outplayed Brady. Brady had an ugly, ugly interception in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you can't run the ball and can't stop anything, you can't win games.
Did, changing slight topic, now that Ahmad Bradshaw...
Yeah.
...is broken.
Completely broken. Dwayne Allen as well.
Yep.
Not a good day yesterday.
Can Trent Richardson carry?
No.
No?
No. I'm going to talk about Trent Richardson when we talk about Washington. All right. It's going to be... I'm going to pose an interesting question to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to... We won't talk too much about this game, but the Bears 21 and the Vikings 13.
Yeah.
A little too late for the Bears to spark it on offense. Basically, look, they're playing to save Trestman's job, right?
Yep.
And that's about it. The Vikings, well, it's just a season to forget for them, I think.
The Bears can still put up points.
Yes, but I don't think they can...
There's no playoff opportunity.
Okay, good.
However, you know, marching towards, you know, all right, just the thought of possibly making the playoffs, they could still get...
Yeah, they showed that they can score points. It was very cold weather there as well, very horrible, windy.
Yep.
And they still, I think Cutler had 330 yards, so that's not too bad. The Texans, 23 over the Browns, bit of a shock there.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Mallett had a solid day, but... It was on the back of some huge rushing by Alfred Blue and Jonathan Grimes. So Blue had 36 carries for 156 yards, and Grimes had 54 yards, I believe. What are your thoughts on Ryan Mallett?
I like him. I didn't.
I called him the most overrated quarterback last week. That's because he was really hyped up with no NFL game tape.
He did not. All right, he's not.
I've changed my mind on that.
He's not a star, but he's got the same kind of. Game manager-esque.
Alex Smith-esque.
Brian Hoyer-esque.
Okay.
Kind of.
I found him thoroughly more enjoyable to watch than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He just looked stressed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just looked... It's like everything was on like 100 mile an hour.
I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick ever thought the job was his, so that's also another thing that must be playing
despite
into your mind.
Them telling him that constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, his first touchdown of the day went to J.J. Watt.
Yep. That's got to suck for fantasy owners. You've got... Yeah, they go into the red zone. They don't throw it to Alfred Blue. They don't throw it to Hopkins. They don't throw it to Andre Johnson.
Yep.
They throw a fading pass over the top to J.J. Watt.
Turn down for what? You can play J.J. Watt as a tight end on Madden now.
You can?
Yep. They changed it today.
That's amazing.
So that's pretty cool. J.J. Watt was everywhere. Had a monster game. Three tackles for a loss, one sack, and one forced fumble. God, I messed that up. But he was just everywhere, so it wouldn't surprise me if five sacks did happen.
Yeah, if it was five touchdowns, three safeties.
Yeah, and we mentioned Brian Hoyer before, rough day, but Josh Gordon's back. And for the Browns, bad news continues. Carlos Danby's out a month with a knee injury. And Jabal Sherd likely out the year with a foot injury. So, look, 36 carries for 150 yards. No Dansby, no Sherd. Now, that run defense is looking like the Colts.
Good luck.
Yep, that's right.
This will really show what they're made of.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs, 24-20 over the Seahawks. And I picked it.
It was a tight one.
It was a good game. Did you watch much of that one?
No, I didn't. I was flicking between every game.
You were red zoning it.
I was red zoning it, that's for sure.
I rewatched some of that game, and look, Russell Wilson's trying his butt off, but without Percy Harvin, that offense seems really stagnant.
Yeah, plus, Seahawks really, I mean, the recent years, they've always fed off their defense.
Yep.
And their defense just hasn't been anywhere near it. It was such an intimidation factor, and coming at the end of last year, You non-stop heard about Sherman every single week. Where is that this year?
No. People are throwing at him at will. They're not scared of him anymore.
Yeah, no.
And people aren't scared to run up the gut now with Brendan Meebane out.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamal Charles just took that game by control.
And you would never imagine that. Like, you just wouldn't think that Seattle could be run up the gut like that. No.
Is there a better 1-2 punch in the league than Charles and Noel Davis? It's tough to... used to think Reggie Bush and Joik Bell were, but that's sort of faded with Reggie Bush fading away, but...
It's interesting. Some teams on their day have very, like, you know, 1-2... change of back kind of thing.
Yeah, McCoy and Sproles come to mind.
McCoy, Sproles and Polk. Yeah. That's like a three-headed monster. Yeah. You saw what Browns did with Tate, Crowell, and West.
Yeah.
Plus, if you've got Eddie Lacy and James Starck.
Yeah, that's pretty good as well.
Yeah.
Max Unger now out for 3 weeks with a high ankle sprain. So look, they've lost Max Unger in the middle of their O line and Brendan Meebane in the middle of their D line.
I would say as soon as he went out, there was a massive difference.
Mm. Yeah, pretty underrated guy.
Yeah,
Max Unger. All right, Falcons. NFC South champions.
All right, so last week we said this is a possibility if the Bengals somehow manage to turn around their fortunes after Dalton completed 33% or something of his passes last week, can he possibly go into New Orleans and beat the Saints?
He did.
He did. We said not a chance. He did.
Then he turned his pass rating of 2 last week into 143.9 this week.
What a week. What a difference.
That's the most ever in between two games.
Wow. Yep. Like, well, I mean, there's...
difference. Yeah, there's so much else you can do.
There's only up from 2, really.
Yeah.
Except 1.
Yeah. Or 0.
Or 0. Yeah. We're good on this show. And we said if Falcons win, which, you know, is very possible, could that happen? Could that scenario play out? We said no way. Now Falcons are the top.
The 4-6 Falcons. Yes, the 4-6 Falcons are heading to the playoffs.
At the moment.
At the moment.
You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me!
We've seen it before. We've seen losing teams win playoff games, and we have seen one in our time. It's the first time, I believe, in the Super Bowl era anyway. So, look, Falcons are in a dome. Could be hosting a team. Could get a sneaky win out. But they need to win the division first. Cam Newton, the last 2 weeks, I compared him to Tim Tebow in that the first 3 quarters, he literally did nothing. And then in the last quarter, I thought, hang on, I've got to start throwing the ball and try to, you know, make these miraculous comebacks.
Yep.
He nearly did it with like 28 seconds left. He set Graham Gano up for like, I know it was 63 yards, but he had like 18 seconds and no timeouts. Yeah. And he managed to march the ball like 40-something yards. So it was nearly a miracle win. What's your thoughts on his season?
I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with him. I'm not sure if it's a whole just morale thing, injury thing, organization feel, you know what I mean? But last week against Philly and this week, he just doesn't have that, you know, same kind of, vigor that he had during his first...
He was a top 5 quarterback last year.
Oh, he was amazing.
He had the same, sort of similar O-line to last year, less weapons because he had Steve Smith and Kelvin Benjamin. I think they're interchangeable, really. And he still managed to, you know, just play so good, make such clutch throws. And this year, not so much. I think the ankle's still a concern.
I'm not sure if he doesn't want to take hits either, but his biggest threat is when he... You know, he scrambles and he finds space so easily. Yeah.
And throws out of the pocket a lot as well.
Yeah. Especially this year.
Yeah, exactly. Antoine Smith's out for the season with a broken leg. It was a good run.
Mm-hmm.
Had us excited there for six or so weeks in the season. Interesting little start to the year from Antoine Smith. And Robert Alford suffered a broken wrist and he's going to be out for the season. That's unlucky on it. He's a pretty good young player, second round pick last year. So, not very good news for the Falcons, but hey, you're leading the division. So,
yeah, there's something.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
Kind of. You're still 4-6.
We touched on this game earlier, the Bengals 27, the Saints 10. Yeah, Andy Dalton, AJ Green, and Jeremy Hill just could not be stopped by yet another woeful performance by Rob Ryan defense.
I know we're really high on Rob Ryan on this show, but
we're not saying we love Rob Ryan. We're saying we're in love with Rob Ryan.
We love to hate Rob Ryan. He's bad. However, Mohamed Sanu was just invisible in that game.
He had a quiet game, but AJ Green is back.
He's back.
I love AJ Green.
And Dalton is obsessed.
Yeah, he is.
He is obsessed with AJ Green. I mean, why wouldn't you? That's who I'd be throwing.
Andy Dalton loves the green.
He does. He's an avid golfer.
Yes. And smoker. The Bengals defense really turned their season around. They actually limited Mark Ingram, who's been one of the best running backs in football last month, to 2.9 yards a carry. And Drew Brees, he had a solid day, but you need to win those games.
Mm-hmm.
You need, when you're down and you're throwing it, you need to get touchdowns, and he only got one.
Would you still say he's an elite quarterback?
It's tough.
He's gone for me.
See, I said that. I'm not sure what you said about Brady early this year after the first four games when he had a shocker against Oakland and the debacle at Kansas City. I called him done, and it's come back to haunt me.
I think I might have said hold out on Gronk.
You said wait for Gronk, didn't you?
Until Gronk is healthy.
I think that's what you said. I can't do the same to Breeze, but I think I would put him on the tier below Luck, Brady,
Rodgers
and Luck. Did I say Luck twice?
You did.
Well, is that good? Yeah, Peyton. Yeah, Rodgers is the best quarterback in football right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that later. The Buccaneers, 27-7 win over the Washington football team. So here's an interesting stat from Andrew Siciliano from ESPN. Washington haven't won a game, started and finished by RG3 in over a year.
Wow.
That's ridiculous, right? Here's what I wanted to bring up to you right now when I mentioned Trent Richardson.
Yep.
What do Trent Richardson and RG3 have in common? Q&A here. I'm going to end your misery. Teams traded for them. Alright?
Alright, yeah. I thought you were going to be more
what's
specific.
What's the worst trade? The Colts giving up a first for T-Rich, or the Rams giving up two firsts and a second, or whatever they gave up? They gave up multiple picks for RG3. Consider this, though. The Rams are starting Sean Hill at quarterback at the moment.
I'd still say Colts locked out.
You still reckon the Trent Richardson trade is worse than the RG3 trade?
I think the Redskins...
What if the Redskins...
The Washington football team.
Oh, yeah. God,
the Washington football team, as an organization right now, are pathetic.
You gotta be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch this? I mean, yeah, they stink!
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather be an Oakland fan right now than a Washington fan.
I am.
The signs are pointing up for Oakland. They are pointing down for Washington.
Horribly. They had... Okay, right?
They stank.
They had a bye week coming out of the bye to prepare for the Bucks, who are 1-8.
The worst defense in football.
And you get pumped by McCown.
Josh McCown had a great game. Oh. Great game. And Mike Evans could be the rookie of the year.
Saying that, right, I think if you threw out, Tebow, he would have had similar numbers.
Yeah, I don't know about that. They were just bad.
So bad, and their offensive line, just nothing, no heart, no nothing. However, going back to RG3.
If he's a Jet next year, what trade's worse?
He will not be a Jet next
year. I'm just throwing it out there. I know, I'm in the know here.
Nope.
I've got a sneaking suspicion.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
I'd like it. I'm not a Jet hater.
No, but they've given up all these picks, and then 2 years later, or 3 years later, it's fizzled out, and they've got nothing to show for it.
I feel if they need other pieces. I don't know. See, going out and
they need a new coach. Jay Gruden is not a good fit for RG3.
Nope. Washington needs...
You gotta be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch this? I mean, yeah, they stink!
Who could they get? Let's have a little brainstorm.
What, a quarterback?
No, it's for coach. Who could they bring in?
Honestly, it's... Depends who the quarterback is next year.
If it's RG3.
Depends where they're picking in the draft. Because if you can get Marcus Mariota...
No.
And move on from Jay Gruden.
No. Because I still think when RG3 came into the league, he had the highest selling jersey. He's still the face of Washington. He called out some players this week, and Jay Gruden told him that he should maybe mind his own business. So
it's just nasty over there. It is. From the top up, even the name needs to be changed. It's just a complete debacle.
Yep.
You gotta be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch the... they stink!
Look, the Washington football team was pathetic, but at least RG3 didn't throw 5 interceptions like Eli Manning did in the Giants game.
Favorite
going
player.
Down 16-10 to the 49ers. But despite throwing 5 picks, they were 2 yards away from winning.
Yeah, that was...
Which everyone seems to just bring up the 5 interceptions, but man, Eli Manning threw 5 picks and they still nearly lost to them. The 49ers, I don't know.
There's some locker room dramas there. That says more about how bad the 49ers are playing this year than what it does about Eli.
But they're still 6-4.
Yeah.
And they have a chance to go to the playoffs.
Wait, are we talking 49ers or Giants? Giants are...
49ers.
Yeah. Stick a fork in the Giants.
Right? Oh, the Giants were done 5 weeks ago. Yeah, no. The 49ers, look, there's some locker room issues going on in there. And that's...
The rumors about Harbaugh possibly being touted by the Raiders.
Hey, how about Harbaugh to the Washington?
No.
He's a good guy at developing quarterbacks.
Harbaugh to... Look at his the Colin Raiders Kaepernick. To the Raiders.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
They would be angry, the 49ers fan. It would be war.
Oh, it'd be great.
In Fresno.
Imagine that kind of defense and... Oh,
Khalil Mack? Oh, yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that. That's the next game. But speaking of rookie linebackers, Chris Borland, my boy from Wisconsin.
Good.
Had a huge game. He's helping ease the pain with Willis. And look, so many rookies in this class. Mm-hmm. It's great. It is great. Especially if you... look... It's a bit of fantasy advice for an IDP league. I'd be picking up Chris Borland and hanging on to him. He's a great dynasty get.
Yeah?
Yep.
If you're in a dynasty league with individual defensive players, yeah. Pick up Chris Borland if possible.
They are leagues. No, our friends over at Aussie Guys are in a league with that.
We got to get involved.
Yeah, we are smashing them in the podcasters league.
Oh, shall really?
Should we say smashing?
Smashing.
Smashing. Anyway... The Giants, one last takeaway. Your favourite coach, all-time Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
I'm reading so dyslexic today. It is ridiculous. Do you think he is done?
What did I say all year?
You've been saying it all year, but now this is the nail in the coffin.
I reckon he's already got dirt on his coffin.
Oh, they're already shoveling it in. What is he, 3 foot under?
Yeah, he's decomposing, mate.
Just being a slayer wreath.
There's nothing going on in that franchise.
Let's have a minute silence for Tom Coughlin on this podcast.
Tom Coughlin. Oh! Anyway,
disrespectful in our minute of silence.
I'm sick of seeing his face. It's more...
You know he's going to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, no, he does... And he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Anyone who starts off as a Jacksonville coach deserves to... And
he's won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, exactly right. He deserves to be in the Super Bowl. Hall of Fame. I'm not arguing about that.
I just think his time's up.
Exactly. There always comes a time. Like Andy Reid's huge run at Philly had to come to an end.
Yeah, it has to.
However, just saying
nothing
that...
gold can stay, pony boy.
Stay golden, pony boy. Okay. I gotta pee.
All right, just saying that, Tom Coughlin, when something isn't going his way, the look, there's just this one look.
It's just the snarly.
He's just like,
look, if you're watching us right now, we're both looking at each other doing these like snarly faces.
Just against my team?
Yeah, it's...
You're going to pay for this kind
of
thing.
It's going to be a rough off-season for Giants fans. Like an end of an era, changing of the guard.
Tom Coughlin to the Washington team.
Oh, no. All right, let's move on. The Chargers 13, the Raiders 6. High-scoring affair. Khalil Mack finally has a sack.
Mack with the sack.
No, okay.
Don't sing that song.
The Raiders, look, they were competitive in the game, even though Derek Carr probably had his worst performance of the year.
Yep.
Latavius Murray showed some.
If he's not the starter next game, the Raiders are taking a step backwards.
Yeah, maybe they should bury some more footballs in the ground from Tony Sparano.
Oof.
That might get them going. What's happened to the Chargers, though? Philip Rivers seems to just not be the same guy he was for the first 4 weeks.
This has always kind of been the problem with Philip Rivers. He's had those games where, you know, he shines and you're like, that's the Philip Rivers, we know. Then you've got the games where he should have put the Raiders to bed.
Yep.
This is the Raiders we're talking about. I know they're an up-and-coming franchise we talk about all the time, but they should have been annihilated, despite the Raiders playing
at home. And they started off with a touchdown the first drive.
Exactly.
And then they just, that was it. I don't know. It's, by the way, I'm a Malcolm Floyd whisperer. Every league that I start him in, some weeks when I'm desperate with buys, he seems to score a touchdown.
Don't tell Chargers fans that. They'll be like, start him, start him.
No, no, no. I will start him when the time is right. Do not mess with my aura with Michael Floyd. Chargers, not Michael Floyd, Malcolm Floyd.
Chargers, no chance of the playoffs?
I don't know. It's not with the NFC North the way it is in Miami marching on.
Fair enough.
They could be in some serious... They need to go to Denver and win.
God, I want the Dolphins to win it all.
God, I want them
in the Super Bowl. I want them to win it all.
In the Super Bowl. All right, second last game. Let's talk about this game in extreme detail, Woot. The Packers, 53 points.
Did we skip a game?
Yes, we did.
Let's rewind a little bit.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to just...
You always... Okay, for a team that you like so much, you skip the Cardinals an awful lot.
Wow. All
right, Cardinals...
I'm on a Bruce Arians quota, and if I go over this year, bad things will happen.
Yeah, you get a fine from Arizona Cardinals. No.
Too much press.
Who would have thought they would have stopped the Lions from even scoring a touchdown? Like, that's amazing.
And as we said last week, the Cardinals are fine.
With Stanton.
He's not as good, but they can still make a deep playoff run.
This was not... Me tipping the Lions wasn't saying that they couldn't win. It was just I thought...
The Lions are a good football team.
That's exactly right.
Can we have a talk about Matthew Stafford? Because I got into a bit of a Twitter heat with a friend of the show at Aussie Audible.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Matthew Stafford mediocre on Twitter. I said, the Lions fans have to deal with the fact that Matthew Stafford is nothing more than a mediocre quarterback. Yes, he's put up stats and he's the fastest quarterback at 20,000 yards or whatnot. But what has he got to show for it? How many deep playoff runs has he got? He's had Calvin Johnson and Scott Linehan his whole career until this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Calvin Johnson's still there. He has a monster arm and Calvin Johnson. He still averages only 7 yards per attempt. And he just seems to... These games that he should be winning or games that you expect him to win, he just seems to go missing and miss throws. And I think he's at the in the middle tier of quarterbacks in the NFL and at the top of that tier. I just think he will never be... in that top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL.
If you had to pick one player in the NFL, right? Besides, like, that wasn't an elite quarterback.
Besides, say, your Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Luck. Besides
any one of them, who has, like, the worst skill set, but the best footballing mind on the field?
Turns in not the elite. Yeah. So, it can't be Russell Wilson because he has an amazing skill set.
No, he's... Yeah, exactly.
I think Matt Ryan.
I was thinking Matt Ryan too. Someone like that, right? If you put Matt Ryan's...
On the line.
No, if you put Matt Ryan's mind with Stafford's skill set.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Stafford can bullet the... He can throw short. He can throw deep. He can throw anywhere.
He can make all the throws, but he just hasn't developed. He's just been in that same... Like, he sort of... As a rookie and then just plateaued.
There's some games where he's making throws that you're like, he shouldn't have made that throw, but it came off and it was
like
amazing.
Like the Theo Riddick one last week was an unbelievable throw. Yeah. And then he misses Calvin Johnson on a 4th and 3.
Yep.
Like, he has these brain farts and it's just so frustrating. And I just don't think, if you're a Lions fan, you expect any Super Bowls.
It's tough.
You don't expect it. Whereas if I had Matt Ryan as my quarterback with the Lions, I'd probably think, yeah, we could probably make the Super Bowl.
I feel really, what's the word? I feel sorry. I feel sorry for Matt Ryan. I really do.
Like a couple of years ago, he was one throw away from the Super Bowl which is the same sort of roster he has now, which is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think Matt Stafford. I don't know. The flag is falling for me with him. I'm over it.
Yep.
All right. Now, what I was going to before.
Sorry. However, saying that. If you can just keep throwing deep to Calvin Johnson, you're bound to get points eventually.
Oh, eventually. But it's just, he needs to get off that plateau and take that step. Get to the summit of Everest.
Who's better, Matt Stafford or RG3?
Stafford.
Stafford still easily?
Yeah.
Stafford or Sanchez?
Stafford. Look, right. He's in the top, 12 or 13 quarterbacks in the league, which is not bad. I called him mediocre. It's probably not the right word, but mediocre means of average quality.
Yep.
And that's what I think. Packers 53, Eagles 20. Oh, man.
Scary.
What are your thoughts on that, Mr. Philadelphia?
I still don't think Eagles would win if it was in Philadelphia, but I think playing in Green Bay on a cold night and things with Sanchez as your quarterback was never going to end well.
Yeah. You let 20 points in before, off special teams errors and things like that before Sanchez even got hot.
Exactly. And, I mean, how good is Rodgers at Lambeau?
How good is Rodgers? Just period. He is the best quarterback in the NFL. It's not even close.
Yep.
And he is probably the favorite for the MVP right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the NFC, you are trying your absolute best to stop them getting home field, right?
You have to.
Yeah. And I've got here that Mark Sanchez wasn't really to blame here, but he didn't do his confidence much good with some fumbles and some interceptions. True. So
phone's buzzing.
Yeah, we've got our guests eager to get on, but we'll get to him not far away. We'll finish the last game of the week, the Steelers and Titans. Titans put up a show today.
They did.
Put up a fight, but eventually the Steelers were too good for them. And Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, 200 yards? 222 yards.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I just got that on Madden with Adrian Peterson.
Wow.
And he was with the Green Bay. I did a fantasy draw.
He's not still suspended?
No. Yeah, so 27-24, the final score.
Yep.
And look, Zach Mettenberger showed glimpses, but it must be frustrating for Titans fans because now it's sort of like, is he or isn't he? Sort of with Josh McCown as well. We had a really good game, but you're like, am I happy? Is Josh McCown the answer, or is it, or does it mean that we're going to miss on a quarterback again?
Do you see the little random fact that these two quarterbacks combined have the longest names of any quarterbacks playing? And it was two burgers. The Burger Bowl.
Burger Bowl.
That's awesome.
Double meat, double cheese, double
bacon, double. I like the little, I don't know if it was at halftime or just, throughout the second half, they had a little graphic and they had all the skills that Ben Roethlisberger had and they were written on burgers.
Oh, really?
On a plate. And then it just had Mettenberger and it just had one burger and it was young up and coming quarterback.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. There's not much to take away from that game. The Titans are stinking. The Steelers, similar to the Colts, are relying on a few key players, but not much else.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, let's get on to our weird web story.
You gotta get out of here. This is crazy. You're so weird.
No. You're really weird.
You're so weird.
All right, 49ers linebacker Ahmad Brooks is upset with his playing time. He benched himself against the Giants. So a source told Fox Sports that Brooks was upset with the coach's decision to take reps away from him and give them to Alden Smith and Aaron Lynch. The source said that Brooks told his coaches and teammates that he should play every snap and he didn't care to be part of a rotation. He wasn't seen standing on the sideline to get back into the game. He was sitting on the bench, removing his cleats and getting tape cut off his ankle. Harborough and Brooks, after the game, both admitted they are working through something. One thing is for certain, there is a jaded locker room in San Fran.
Well, we mentioned that. There is something definitely on over there. It's just.
What's your thoughts on Ahmad Brooks benching himself?
That's similar to. Did you hear about the college player? I don't have exact details right now, but the college player you know, celebrating, getting pumped up for the game last week or the week before, and found out he wasn't on the starting lineup, and, you know, got changed, got on a bus and went home. This is before the game had even started.
As someone that's not very athletic and often finds himself starting on the bench, don't do that. Yeah, value your time.
This is how you stay on the bench, by doing these kind of things.
Look, I love sitting down. Sitting down's probably one of my favourite things.
Eating, sleeping, sitting down.
Down, yeah, watching football, eating cereal. But man, you ain't getting no cereal on the bench, so you need to get up and earn that.
Cereal.
You got to earn that cereal. Get those endorsements.
Yeah. You don't want to become, you know, a cereal pest.
God, I'm so, my mouth is watering for cereal right now. How about you tweet us your favourite cereals?
I was about to say, you like Milo cereal?
Yes. I got you into that.
Oh, you did. You started me on.
When were we before our, what was it, our public holiday NFL game? It was like 40 degrees and we ate cereal before we went and played.
We did. That was good.
That was good fun. Fruit Loops is another favourite of mine. But anyway.
Fruit Loops.
So sugary. Sweet, sweet, delicious
sugary
loops.
Goodness.
Yeah. So, well,
can I, by the way, last week when we mentioned the tiny tittle, tiny tittles. Wow, dyslexic yeah. day.
It's just crazy.
That's going to be the title of our podcast dyslexic already. Day.
And we can't even make it dyslexic because the D's. So it's just going to be dyslexic day anyway.
It'll just be dyslexic. the tiny teddy argument. That really started a war about like amongst everyone we asked. We were like, do you like the chocolate or the honey? And someone would say chocolate. The next person would just go, are you stupid?
Yeah.
And
then Saturday night, I think we argued tiny teddies for a good half an hour to an hour.
We've definitely started something.
Yeah.
Got
look,
to be starting something. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, we'll move on to our second weird web story. And this one was suggested by Chris Like from Texas. And Andrew Price, at Price.
Pricey 43.
He's going to be mentioned again later. Pricey's had a big week. The Pricey's right. So, Jags cornerback Dwayne Gratz found himself in a sticky situation on Sunday. He was at a local convenience store and was out of cash, so he tried to pay for the goods with chewing gum. Yes, chewing gum.
Wait, out of his mouth or like sticks of gum?
The details are not...
Because actually, there is... Some...
What do you think's worth more? Pre-chewed gum or...
All right. If it was someone, say, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and it was their chewed up gum, that could sell for a lot. There are some, you know, there are some crazy people out there that would be like, oh my God, I'm going to
I reckon there's some crazy girls, especially Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. They're some hunks of man meat. There's some cloning potential
exactly.
in there.
Exactly. They were like, I'm going to clone
some crazy scientists, ladies.
Yeah. I don't know if he thought he was at that level, because he's a cornerback for the Jags.
He's a third pick. I don't know. Although Brian Anger, previous third-round pick, is a superstar in Jacksonville.
But the moral of the story, you didn't get to...
No, here's the rest of it. The store owner. Surprisingly, might I add, did not accept his offer.
Oh, what?
What an idiot. Take the gum, man.
Take the
and asked him
gum.
Repeatedly to leave the store. Gratz refused to leave. And disturbance happened, and the police were called, and then eventually he was arrested at 5:53 a.m. and charged with disorderly intoxication and trespassing after a warning. So they're both misdemeanors, so he spent the night in jail and was released on a $1,000 bond on Monday morning, and Hubba Bubba delivered that bond via forklift the next day.
Wow. That was good.
That was good.
Thank
you.
Yeah, nah, I got nothing else to say.
Let's just move on. Let's finish with Hubba Bubba. By the way, top four gum Hubba Bubba of all time.
I'm going to say, at least he didn't try to steal it.
Kudos. Like
upside. He tried to pay for it.
Yeah. Like.
Can I just say.
Trying to do something.
Poor Jags must be not paying that much. If you've got to pay for. Yeah.
Just proves that they need to get to London. If a local convenience store owner doesn't know who Dwayne Gratz is, then Jacksonville are not just paying attention.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, London, get your act together.
That's it. Time for our real MVP of the week. All right, Woot, give us your real MVP.
All right, we've already mentioned him slightly. But originally, thinking about this question. We're going to go Ryan Mallett, just to spite your comment last week.
You love spiting me.
But when you start for the first your first career game.
Oh, he played against Chicago.
Was that his first
But I don't
start?
Think he started the game.
So, I'm just going to continue my statement.
Okay.
In your first career start, you rush for four touchdowns. Or rush for four? Catch four. Score
Whatever,
four.
You scored four.
Scored four you touchdowns.
You did rush all four.
You did rush all four, I thought so. For 199 yards in a game.
A big game.
A big
prime time
game. You deserve to be the real MVP, Jonas Gray, of the New England Patriots.
And good on New England for starting someone, despite having the surname Gray, after the previous weeks with their whole Twitter thing. I think they're slowly moving from white to black. They've settled with Gray for now.
Can I just say, their other running back is James White. So,
if surname is Black, you're next in line at the Patriots. Because I don't know if I didn't want to put it in the weird web story because it's a bit old, but the whole Twitter thing with the at I hate N word was deplorable, and it was up for like 2 hours before they noticed it. And the apology was like, sorry for the apology, it was an automated, no sincerity.
Nah,
it was shocking.
That actually, you know what? That's a typical New England Patriots response. It's just a typical, you know.
It's like Belichick answered that. He's like, how do we respond for this? Maybe. So.
Let's give the computer my attitude.
Yes.
Sorry. My bad. That's it.
Their computers in Twitter feed is set to Belichick mode. It's just automated responses.
I wish I could get Siri as Belichick. What's the weather like outside, Siri? Why don't you check?
Yeah.
That's it.
Where's the nearest sushi place, Siri? You don't like sushi. Try something else.
Try a salad.
Yeah. Just stop eating sushi.
Coach, we just got word that your house is on fire.
Houses catch fire all the time. That's what insurance is for.
Anyway, my real MVP of the week is college football. And we all know I love Wisconsin. Well, if you don't, you do now. Melvin Gordon. 25 carries, 408 yards, 16.8 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns, and he did it in only 3 quarters! 3 quarters! He could have gone for 500! Crazy. He broke LaDainian Tomlinson's FBS record for most rushing yards in a game, which was 406, and he did it in style. He broke the record on a 26-yard touchdown. And here's a crazy stat. He's gained more yards on the ground in 3 quarters and on 25 carries than one entire FBS team, Wake Forest, has gained all season.
Poor Wake Forest.
Wake up! Puntacular. But Melvin Gordon, you are the real MVP. Please come to the Colts.
Please come to the Colts?
Yeah, we need you. Here's a deal. We'll give Wisconsin Trent Richardson. Let him be redrafted. Adequately in the 7th round. And we'll take Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. All right, we got a special guest on the show coming up. So let's just give him a call. All right, joining us on the line is Scott Ditcham. He is the founder of the NFL in Australia petition. And he's been working tirelessly at that. Sorry, Scott. We are shocking today with our words. We have been so dyslexic. He's been working so hard at that. His petition is growing. He's been on numerous radio shows, even in America. So say hello, Scott.
How are you going?
We're good, mate. How are you?
You're not too bad. Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday night.
We're finally on a Tuesday.
Yes.
Are you happy
not
about
a Saturday.
That? Yes. Yeah. So tell us about your petition, mate.
Okay, I started it back in December, or late December last year, just on a hunch that I thought, you know, the game was growing here. London have 3 games. I figured, why can't we? So I thought I'd just test the waters and see what kind of reaction I would get. And it's obviously been pretty positive, having you guys push it for me early on. And as you said, being on the radio in America, Melbourne radio.
Yeah, SEN.
SEN. But I've saved the best for last, and I've... save you guys for last.
Oh, mate.
Not last, I hope.
But yeah, no. Hopefully bigger and better things for you, mate. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
But just please, just said, drag us along with you.
Yeah, you guys are there for the ride.
Yeah, sounds good, mate. Sounds good. As you said, the fan base is growing over here. How much have you noticed, like, even just this year, like, pre-Jarrod Hayne announcement, how big was the NFL here?
It was still, like, you go back for when they had that preseason game back in 99, like, it wasn't that popular. They still got 70, well, they said they got 70,000. And just, I just noticed even people on the streets wearing jerseys, all over social media, just talking to people and, like, that I've just randomly meet from my old job, talking about NFL, and they all follow it. So it's grown a lot.
Yeah. What about after the big Jarrod Hayne announcement that he was going over, arguably one of the biggest names in Australian sport, and he's pushing the NFL agenda now?
I think it's great for the game. I think a lot of people that didn't know much about it sort of taking an interest. So hopefully they can actually start watching games, understand the rules, understand why there's so many timeouts, and get involved.
We find that's the biggest hurdle, hey?
The biggest hurdle to me would be the game just goes so long. I don't understand why it's always stopped. That kind of.
I did watch
a game. I think it was last year. It was a Broncos game. Where the first half, I don't think there was one ad break, which surprised the hell out of me. But it's the only time I've ever seen that.
Yeah. Look, I think it, like, as we have said before, when we've compared NRL, because we're Sydney fellows, so we're rugby league, but we compared NFL and NRL in one of our very, very first podcasts. And I'd rather get 60 minutes of football, even if I've got an hour or so of ads in between, than in the NRL, they're standing around, the clock's ticking, and they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
I just think you get more, and the ad revenue is the reason why it's so got so much money, and the quality of it is so good.
As we know, there's no real advertising around the grounds, unlike here.
Yeah.
Like AFL, you got signs everywhere. It's on the people, players, jumpers and everything. So, yeah, NFL don't have that. So they obviously need TV timeouts to pay for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also to mention, Channel 9 still doesn't have high-definition coverage.
No.
Which is just beyond ridiculous to me.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Back to Channel
7, same with the AFL, there's no high-definition. It's all in standard definition, which is stupid.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think a lot of people are making the switch to NFL and other American sports. We've seen hockey pick up and basketball as well. How many signatures have you got on the petition now?
Okay, as of today, I looked earlier, it was 2,162, around about.
That's not too bad, but I know there is a lot more than 2,000 NFL fans out there.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I think you did a story earlier in the year on some site that you said there's about 300,000 people watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so that's right.
So they're obviously out there.
Yeah. That's right, yeah, 300,000 people watched the Denver Broncos-Seattle Seahawks game in Australia.
Yeah.
So, like, even, like, a third of that, even if the third are passionate NFL fans, there's another 98,000 people that need to sign this. What do you think's the biggest hurdle for people, for the NFL to come out here?
Obviously, travel time, so, like, 14, 15 hours on a plane is a long time.
Yep.
And I just think, the interest, they need to know that it's here. Like, obviously, London have proven it's there.
Yep.
It is a bit closer to the States. That doesn't take just a lot of Americans fly over and watch the games.
Yep.
But I think, definitely, and the time difference, like, working out when we're going to play the game is probably one of the hardest things. I think Sunday morning, maybe 10 or 11 would work, but then you got college football, which reigns supreme in Saturday night, so it's a bit hard with that.
It is tough. Look, they'd play Saturday games in the playoffs, maybe a Saturday game down here and maybe a Friday night.
Yeah, one of those would work. Like, I know people say it's a long flight and it's, a short turnaround, but they do play on a Sunday there and play on a Thursday, so I don't think there's much of a difference between that.
I think if you have two teams that have a bye the following week, it doesn't impact it that much.
Yeah, no,
it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Yeah. And even if you have one team that's played the Thursday night previously and then plays the following Sunday, there's a big gap there. You could make it easy. Even if that team's coming from the East Coast and one of the other teams is a West Coast, the travel time's reduced.
Yeah, if you had two teams, coming off a bye or something, they could acclimatise themselves in Australia during that bye week.
And you have more press and coverage over here.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to us.
Have you guys, you've obviously been to the States before?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, jet lag, getting there is 10 times worse than coming back here. Because yep. You might lose the day, but your times are still very similar. But when you get there, you're starting the day all over again. So it really knocks you around.
Yeah, well, coming back when we went, we left at 10 o'clock at night or something like that in LA. And when we got back, it was the sort of the day of the...
I think it was about
later in the morning.
Yeah, it was about.
But it felt like we'd just slept the night.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it was quite like I was fine.
And I'm sure the NFL has enough money to be able to give them, you know, the kind of the best treatment on a flight available. Yeah.
Look, we survived in economy. They'll be right on their own private jets. You know what I mean?
Screaming babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you're on the money here, like. And what I like about your petition is you're not after a game tomorrow or next week. You're being realistic about it. You've set the goal at probably like before 2020.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, around about then, probably the right time. But yeah, it's not going to happen in 1 or 2 years' time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Three possibly, but I don't think at the moment.
No, so, yeah. They do plan ahead quite early. Yeah. Some other Aussies in the NFL that are helping other than Jarryd Hayne is Brad Wing, Jesse Williams, Tom Hornsey, Cam Johnson, and now even in college we've got Adam Gottes coming through and Scott Harding's having a blinder of a season, so much so that a listener, Pricey, who suggested the Weird Web story for us this week, actually rang ESPN Honolulu during the week and commended Scott Harding, and they love him over there in Hawaii. They called him the MVP of the team. He's a punter and a wide receiver.
And he's a kick returner too, isn't
he? Yeah, absolutely. He's a triple threat. A player like that, and Adam as well, if they can get in the NFL and actually play some meaningful snaps, sorry, Jesse Williams, but you haven't really done much to light it up for us. I think that could increase exposure.
Yeah, I think Jesse Williams, sad to say, his career could be over for all we know.
We agree. Yeah,
Scott Harding, AFL background, obviously people know him through that.
Yeah.
And Adam Gottes is good for the local gridiron.
Yep.
Having come from playing for Monash down here in Melbourne.
Yeah, he's had a very good season. I actually think he will be drafted.
That'd be good to see.
Yeah. Okay. I
hopefully does.
Not early, but I think he might find a niche for a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's playing well for Georgia Tech. And, yeah, as you said with Jesse Williams, it's looks like it's all over.
Yeah, it doesn't look good at all, does it?
Yeah. Has Brad Wing or any of those players endorsed the petition?
Brad Wing did sign it.
Yep.
I just found that I was looking through the signatures and saw his name there, but he didn't say anything about it.
No.
Ben Graham early on was happy for it to happen, and he signed it, but he reckons we might need about 90,000 signatures, which he could be right.
He could be right, but look, all it takes is it to really pick up. I think you find with a lot of things on social media and stuff like that, they seem to snowball once they sort of tick over views and pick up popularity. The more exposure you get, the more it'll pick up.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I'm trying desperately to get people at the moment on Facebook to email Channel 7, just Channel 7 in general in Melbourne and Sydney, and just
flood, they can take just some flood notice. And spam their inboxes.
Just
full of requests.
Flood the gates.
Yeah,
I think that's good, and obviously Channel 7 has really helped the
game. Down
game,
there.
Yeah, because it's been shown on 7, mate.
Yeah, I think if Channel 7 didn't step in and take over, I think it might have, died a slow death.
Yeah.
Look at NBA. Like, I know it's still popular, but no, it's not on normal TV anymore. You just can't find it anyway.
No, you need Game Pass to watch that. And a lot of people are wearing NBA jerseys, but they probably wouldn't be able to tell you any results.
No,
exactly. No.
That's right. So we've got a special mailbag section, especially about fans down under. And before we do that, I'll just take us to our mailbag drop.
Got mail. You got mail. You got mail. You got mail. Goodbye.
All right, our mailbag section this week is look, we asked people during the week to tweet us suggestions for how they became NFL fans and how they chose a team. And before we get to our listener responses, we're going to ask you, Scott, how did you become an NFL fan?
Mine's a kind of a bit of a weird one. I do remember seeing a college game on TV with my sister's ex-boyfriend. He started watching it and like, what's this garbage? He told me what it was. Changed the channel very quickly. But I was overseas one time, I think it was in Singapore, and I thought, I need a new computer game. This is back in 1990, so I'm obviously a lot older than you guys.
1990? We were born then.
Well, there you go.
Crazy.
I think one was an NBA game, which my friends are all popular, you know, love NBA, and I thought, I'll buy it. Another one was called Monday Night Football. I thought, I'll get it and just play it. Chose Denver for some unknown reason. Just picked them. And learned the rules from that, and from then on I just fell in love with the game and watched it on TV with Don Lane, and a couple of years later I actually played locally.
Oh, wow. Awesome. What positions did you play?
I started as a wide receiver, but got cleaned up a few times, and then changed to cornerback because I thought I'd rather hit than be hit.
Yeah.
Sound logic.
Yeah. Who was on the front cover of that Monday Night Football game, if you can remember?
Oh, geez. Don't remember exactly, but I think the commentators were Al Michaels, Dan Dierdorf, and what was the other guy's name?
Sorry, you can remember the commentators, but not the cover. The cover.
It's an old game. I can't remember.
Oh, all right, awesome.
We'll let you off the hook.
Yeah. All right. Did you want to stick around while we go through some of these answers?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll stick.
Absolutely. All right. I'll kick us off. Adam Nichols on Twitter wrote, "His parents taught him to talk by identifying NFL teams by their helmets from a book."
What?
Yeah, that's crazy. And he's a Packers fan for a lot of reasons. And then he tweeted us again. His number one reason was cheese. So, cheesehead, there you go.
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I've got, all right, Josh White has chicken scratch handwriting. So when he's written this out, I can't actually, does this say beer?
Yeah, that says beer.
Neil Dutton writes in from Twitter, I'm guessing.
Yep.
I got into the NFL because I wanted to hang out with two of my friends who never came out on a Sunday. Beer was taken. That's just it.
That's it. Yep.
You didn't want to be left out. You didn't want to be the social outcast.
No, there you go. NFL makes you, give in to peer pressure. All right. Andrew McDougall wrote in that Michael Jordan made him love Chicago, so he's stuck with Chi-Town ever since. Poor guy. Stuck with the Bears.
Unlucky. Tristan writes in, I got into the NFL through Madden 64, and I was the guy who always went for the best team, Packers all the way.
He's probably laughing right now.
Yeah.
He's probably laughing right now.
They've still been up there pretty much the entire time,
yeah. Daryl Turner said that his dad worked with the Texans in the mid-80s, he remembers diehard fans telling him stories about Coach Landry. So, it's a Texans fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of rare.
Yeah, that's good.
Daniel McKenzie. I always thought NFL was too slow, but went and watched the 49ers play live and fell in love. So good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Live games. Have you seen one, Scott?
Very long time ago, 1994, Saints and Redskins.
Oh, wow.
In New Orleans. And then, of course, the game in Sydney.
Yeah.
We won't count that one, though.
No. Chris Wozintek. Oh, man, that is a tongue twister of a surname.
We're going with that. Yeah,
he said he played NFL 2K3 for Xbox, and the Rams had the best offense in the game. So he chose them. Oh, sorry, in the game, which they still do. Right? Right? That was a good one.
That was his comment?
Yeah, that was a good tweet.
Okay.
Yeah, he made me laugh.
All right. Is this
one more?
Alex Underwood writes, watched a team in the UK called
Thames
Valley Chargers in the 80s, 90s. Chose Washington. Don't know why. Thanks, guys.
I've got a couple more here. Quick ones. At the Sausage 74. Great Twitter handle. My old man went to LA in 1986 and bought him an LA Rams jersey. At the Dugong said his dad was posted to St. Louis in the early 80s RAAF. And he swapped his Cardinals for Rams on the move.
Ooh.
So he's a Rams fan. A lot of Rams fans in Australia, which is surprising.
They you know, back in the day.
Yeah, they were.
My dad's a Rams fan.
Oh, there you go. At George, my dad is a Bills fan because his name's Bill. At George K, he says his uncle lived and worked in San Fran in the 80s and 90s. He sent him a Niners jacket in 1991, and he still had it until 2004.
Nice.
So there's a variety of different answers of how people became NFL fans. And I think it's great that the game is growing. And I really want every one of you listening, I don't care if you live in America, Canada, Alaska, that's part of America,
UK,
Liberia, Mars, sign the petition, help Scott out, share it around, retweet him, like it on Facebook, share it, help him out. He works tirelessly and, like, there's no agenda from him. He has even forked out some of his own cash for this. So he is, like, working hard. And
hardly working.
Come on, man. I'm trying to help you here.
I have been doing a lot. You can ask my wife.
Yeah, no, I've seen you at games, at local Victorian games with signs and posters. You've asked me to hand out posters at ice hockey games, and I know you had someone in Queensland doing that.
Has your wife signed the petition?
I think she has. I better check that.
Has your son, who has a very good name, Josh, signed the petition?
Not as yet. I'll teach him how to use the computer, but he will. And, you know, I actually named him after you two guys just to get on the show.
You know I'm going to take this and put that as the open.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I am. The first ever open before the intro song. We're doing it today. Yep.
Cool.
All right, us.
Just quickly, one more thing.
Yep.
I did realise I did go to the Pro Bowl back in 99 as well.
Oh.
That was a good experience.
Exhibition good. Game.
Yeah, I got a few good autographs too. Like
now, there's an idea. There's an idea to start us off. If the NFL really want to suss out how popular it is here, bring the Pro Bowl out here.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Pro Bowl down under, they could make...
You could have a draft down here. You'd have, like, so much... You'd have the players going to the Taronga Zoo, patting kangaroos, and all sorts of stuff. Climbing the Harbour Bridge. It would be... That would be nuts.
I mean, Oprah came down here. She loved it.
Why can't Andrew Luck come down here?
Yeah, there you go.
Andrew Luck can come and hang out.
Melbourne Zoo.
Okay, well, they can go to Taronga for the draft and then go down to Melbourne and play in the MCG. Look, yeah, we're Sydney fellows, but we know the MCG is probably the best ground in Australia. So
yeah, well, size-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Crowd, yeah.
And ANZ's a stinker. It is terrible.
Yep.
Although there's rumours today that they're going to upgrade that whole thing, $3.5 million upgrade, or a billion-dollar upgrade. So
yeah, $3.5 million, I don't know if that'd do much.
No, that'd put a nice bit of turf on it. Yeah, they're talking about getting a roof and getting people in closer to the action. So by the time that's done.
That's the biggest problem, so I mean.
Yeah, that's great.
Want to build another stadium for that amount of money.
Yeah, I know, they probably could, but yeah. Let's not get into government bureaucracy here. We've covered everything else.
Yeah, they're just going to build apartments where they originally...
All right, Scott, thanks for coming on. Finally, we manned up and got you on the show.
That's cool. Thanks, sir. And I better say where they can sign a petition. That might help.
Yeah, that would help. We'll post the link as well on our Twitter page and Facebook page as well.
All right, cool.
But what is it?
Yeah, www.change.org. Search for NFL Melbourne, and it's the first link. Again, I'm not trying to get, but Melbourne's our number one choice, but if it happens in Sydney, it happens in Sydney. If it happens in Brisbane, it happens in Brisbane. I have no real choice in the matter.
Scott, don't discriminate.
No, yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Sounds good.
So change.org, NFL Melbourne.
Yep.
Yep.
Get on it. Sounds good, man.
Cool. All right. Thanks for that.
Catch you later.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
All right. On to week 12 picks. Let's pump through these. We've been going for a little while now.
Yep.
Pump through them. All right. Kansas City at Oakland.
I will take Kansas City after a strong win at Seattle.
I, too. Also.
Poor Oakland, but, you know, Kansas City, this is a crucial game for them.
Yep. New York Jets at Buffalo.
This is... The Jets were quite impressive against the Steelers in how they controlled the clock. So I'm going to take the Jets in an upset. The Kyle Orton magic is over in Buffalo, too. We may see EJ Manuel at one point, which is never good.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a Vic believer, so...
Man, I was trying to get a tip up on you. I'm Jets. Changing to Buffalo.
Are you?
Yep. I need to get more up on you. You're up by 6, 98 to 92.
Wow.
Both got 6 right last
week. All right, Tampa at Chicago.
I'll take Chicago. Nope. Fooled you. I'm taking Tampa Bay. Josh McCown back at Chicago to haunt his old team.
Whew, okay. Yep. Detroit at New England.
I can't pick against New England. They've had one of the best months of football in a long time.
Patriots Packers.
That was I had. You had Patriots Saints. Yeah. And I had Denver Packers. Yeah. So between us,
we're
probably bad. All right.
All right, Jags at Indy.
Andrew Luck.
That was your argument last week.
Yes.
All right, Cleveland at Atlanta.
People reminded me of that.
Trust me, I know.
Out of nowhere, people, Patriots.
By the way, right. nothing at you, but that Brady on a throne picture, that is a good pic.
That Robin poster?
Yeah. It's a good picture.
He didn't even play that good against us. Andrew Luck played better
than
anyone
else. I know. All right, Cleveland.
By the way, Robin tweeted me that photo and was like, oh, yeah, the Patriots won. He tweeted, I didn't even know who Jonas Gray was. That's the Australian Patriots
supporters. To be honest, though, not that many people did.
No, but still.
All right, Cleveland at Atlanta. This is a crap game to try and pick.
This is a tough.
All right, you'll go Cleveland. I'll go Atlanta because you're going for Josh Gordon back. All right?
You know me so well.
Tennessee at Philly. Philly rule.
Come on, Sanchez.
Close.
Yep.
Green Bay, Minnesota.
Give me the Aaron Rodgers show. By the way, I started Devontae Adams when they had 6 touchdowns in two halves against the Packers.
Did he catch a pass that game?
Pardon? He caught one pass of 10 yards. That's why I started him. I thought, they can have a good... So I dropped him against Philly. Scores a touchdown.
Of course he does.
Of course.
All right, we've both got Green Bay against Minnesota. Yes, absolutely. Cincy at Houston.
Oh, man. What Dalton are you going to get?
All right. Dalton used to be a force at home, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Then?
Cleveland rocked his boat.
Was that at Cleveland or at...
Yeah, it was at home. Cleveland destroyed Andy Dalton at home. Then Andy Dalton went to Drew Brees' home and destroyed Drew Brees.
Sorry, are you saying at Cleveland's home or at Bengals home?
At Bengals home.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And that was a complete role reversal from last season.
It was. It's crazy.
All right, I'll go Dalton still.
I'll take Houston.
Oof, mallet.
I'm on the mallet train now. No, I'm not really. I'm on the JJ Watt train.
You're on the mallet.
Yeah.
Arizona at Seattle.
You know what? I have faith in Bruce Arians so much. Just give him the Coach of the Year award now. Arizona will win and send Seattle to oblivion. As much as I love the Miami Dolphins as our team in the podcast, I really regret Arizona not being team in the podcast.
Yeah.
You are deep in thought here, my friend.
I'm going to go Arizona simply because of the lack of Seattle's offense.
Yeah, and Todd Bowles drew up a really good game plan against Matt Stafford. So he'll do the same for Russell Wilson.
I don't think it's more than that. I think it's their biggest offensive threat is Marshawn.
Mm.
And
although Joyke Bell did pretty well against them.
There is always that one random...
But then again, Arizona had to account for Calvin Johnson. Who do you account for in the Seattle passing game? Doug Baldwin?
Yeah.
Helfet, their tight end.
Curse?
Yeah, wait, that's curse? It. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Miami at Denver.
I'll take Denver.
Yep.
I'm not confident about it at all.
I think they'll win, not comfortably, but maybe 10.
10?
10 points.
Okay.
St. Louis at San Diego.
That is tough.
To be honest, I don't care about this game at all.
Let's just not pick it.
We'll pick the...
Whatever you pick, I'll pick the opposite, because I'm behind you.
Hmm.
Pressure's on. By the way, last week I had picked a lot of upsets to try and catch up on you, and I still only got 6 right, and all the upsets that I should have picked, I missed out on.
All right, you're going the Rams.
I'm going the Rams.
All right, Washington at San Fran.
I'll take San Francisco.
Yeah, me too. Washington are...
Woeful.
Dead in the river. New York Giants at Dallas.
Tony Romo.
How many interceptions?
That week off is great for his...
Over under his 2. Back.
For Eli.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll throw intercepts. I just don't think he'll throw many touchdowns.
So if we put it at 2.5, you'd say he'd get 2 or less?
Yeah, I'll go less.
I'll say over then.
Okay.
Little side bet.
Put it on the wager. On the wager wall.
+2...
Yeah. I went less.
All right. And finishing off with Baltimore at New Orleans.
this, like, I'm really looking forward to this game. I don't know why. I don't particularly, like, I'm a big fan of both teams, but these are crucial for Baltimore. This is a crucial game for Baltimore, and it's crucial for New Orleans now. New Orleans are not safe in their division like we all thought.
Did Baltimore win without Jimmy Smith? What was this?
It's so long ago. I'll take New Orleans.
Yeah, you're not getting
that one. I'm not confident at all.
I'm taking them too.
Yeah, I'm not confident at all. Your wager last week, no good?
Had one up, one down. Yep. The bet of the week was, come on, all right. We'll start with the Broncos.
Yeah, how can you pick that?
This is 2 weeks in a row where we've had two huge upsets.
Yep.
You can say it's on me, but that's on everyone. It's on Peyton.
I had a multi drawn up and I forgot to put it on. So luckily, because Denver are in all of them.
Yep.
So I count my lucky stars on that one.
However, I did post a riskier bet and said, if you want to go the unders between and Minnesota under, I think it was only about 40, 43, something like that, yeah. I think. And I said,
that
go
was
the
good.
Unders.
Yep.
Made it under.
That was a good bet. And someone who tweeted us earlier, at the Dugongs, he messaged us on Twitter, and I think he took that bet, and he was happy. He also couldn't believe the Patriots were outsiders against the Colts at home, and he said he cleaned up.
Yeah, no, I mean,
although I tipped the Colts last week, it was only because I was behind you, and I thought maybe Andrew Luck might have a chance. New England were valuing my multis, and they were included.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You look at them, and you're just like...
It's like a lost opportunity because of Denver.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right. That wraps up our show for today. I just got a message from Scott, and he said that was cool and he really enjoyed being on. So,
oh, well, yeah.
There we go.
Scott's
he said not as routine as other shows, but look, we're never routine.
No, of course not.
We sit in, you know, in our little studio, or fake studio, and just go for gold.
We do, so.
It's not unusual for food and cereal and tiny teddies and... Yeah, and things like that to be brought up.
Thanks for writing in as well. Yeah. Thanks for giving us your...
Yeah, the unique stories about how they became NFL fans. And
do we have a question for next week?
No, we don't.
Should we say what's your most, like, random piece of, you know, like, most random jersey or something?
Sports
like,
jersey NFL memorabilia?
Should we say NFL? Should we stick it to NFL?
Yeah, stick it to NFL.
All right, we'll say stick to NFL, but just on
a... Unless you've got something utterly bizarre... Like a Michael Jordan, something Michael Jordan, I don't know, like just anything basketball or maybe.
Yeah,
that's
bizarre. Well, our mate Cameron Nixon
bought
a $20 Wiggins jersey.
A Cleveland
Wiggins jersey, just because he could. Just because he could.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, something completely random. This is the most random piece of sports memorabilia I have. This is not American sports.
Yeah.
I have a Rod Laver signed golf card.
Golf card.
Where he played golf with, I'm trying to think of, another tennis player. He's doubles partner, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, try to find a more random piece of memorabilia than that.
I've got a samurai sword signed by Randy Jackson.
Of course you
from
do.
From American Idol.
Whoa. See that black smudge right there on the blade?
Yeah.
Look at it closely. Pretty recognizable signature.
No.
Randy Jackson from American Idol.
Why do you have Randy Jackson's autograph on a martial arts weapon?
Because I bumped into him and all I had on me was this samurai sword, and you're not going to not get Randy Jackson's autograph, right?
I would have done the exact same thing.
All right, then.
Yeah. Well, I also tweeted people earlier to tweet us their favorite cereal. So we could also... Oof. There's two questions.
Yeah, there. Or office snacks. Keep that rolling in. I want to see what
I want some more office snacks in my office.
Yeah, I want ideas for office snacks.
We're both new to the workforce. Yeah. We love snacks.
We do. Tiny teddies.
All right. As always, I'm on Twitter at Josh White.
I'm at Josh Woot.
We're also, the show's on Twitter at Woot and Why. We're also on Facebook. Just search The Woot and Why Show. We are on Stitcher, Two Thumbs Up Media, Oz Podcast, and on iTunes. Please rate and review us. If you're not going to send us a Christmas present, just do that.
Yeah.
Just do that.
If we're not going to get anonymous Kris Kringles.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
Just do that.
Also, if you don't subscribe.
Yeah.
Really, subscribe and download.
Yeah.
Okay? To be honest, I don't care if you don't listen to me.
If you just download it.
It's probably better. The advice that we give is probably so horrible and mediocre that... Yeah, if you just download
Matt Stafford, mediocre.
Ooh, not that bad.
Yeah. All right. Ciao.
Bye, guys.